This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
Broadcasting to Brentwood, Billericay and the world, this is Phoenix FM.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, like the legend of the Phoenix.
Here's the reason why.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Mr. Bombastic.
They said,
oh, what a night.
Hello, good evening, a huge welcome to one and all. It's wonderful to have you along on the show that goes like this on this crisp, cool, chilly Tuesday evening late into November. And shockingly, this is my final live broadcast before I go away to the wonderful, wacky world of pantomime. Tomorrow night, I will be travelling to the northwest of England. But I will still be broadcasting every week, thanks to the loveliness of the internet and things like Dropbox and file sharing, etc., which enable me to bring you a show every Tuesday. So don't panic. I'm not going anywhere other than to the north of England. It's not like the other side of the world or anything like that that stops me bringing you the show that goes like this, the show that goes like this, fans, or my lovely leg end listeners, as I should say. So don't panic. Regular programming will be coming to you throughout December as well. So, yeah, but what are we doing tonight? Well, as Stuart Pink alluded to at the end of his fabulous Drive Time show before he left, the World Cup of Soft Drinks has most definitely concluded now. It came to a head last week in what can only be described as a minor shambles. And, well, we do have an official winner. I was desperately hoping there would be a clear winner from the initial round of voting, and it had to go to extra time in an unprecedented event. The voting ended up 50-50. Somehow, some way, you wonderful social media voters conspired to end up with a dead heat at the end of the final between Cherry Coke and Dr. Pepper. Went to extra time. I've been doing all the polls on Twitter. Had to hastily think on my feet and added some kind of extra time mechanism on Facebook where people could then vote again. And Cherry Coke ended up victorious. If you missed any of last week's show, then you won't know. But yes, a few months back we decided that the nation's favourite chocolate bar was a Cadbury's Caramel, now known as Dairy Milk Caramel. And now, after many weeks of trials, tribulations, desperation and screaming, we have worked out that the nation's favourite soft drink is a cherry Coca-Cola. It may not be your soft drink. Tough. You should have voted harder the last few weeks of the show that goes like this. So yes, Dairy Milk Caramel and Cherry Coke. What's next? What will we be doing next? Well, I'm not going to do any kind. I actually have got a good idea, and I'll let you into it later on, for what I'm going to be bringing to you over the next few weeks. But into the new year, there's going to be another World Cup. I haven't quite made up my mind yet. Stuart Pink was edging towards crisps. We had a brief chat as he was leaving the studio off air. So who knows, it could be crisps, maybe pizza toppings, but there's not enough really. Crisps, there's definitely enough of to have a kind of whittling down procedure, if you like. Anyway, enough of that, enough of the future. What's coming tonight, you're desperate to know? Well, I've got some great wacky holidays to share with you today, and I've got some fabulous tunes associated with those wacky holidays. And then, well, I can't really let you know unless in some way you already know, if you're able to do the thing I'll be talking about later in the show. That's so vague and confusing. What on earth am I talking about? Well, let's just deal with each wacky holiday as it comes, play some tracks related to that wacky holiday, and then it's all building up to something in the second hour of the show, which is a little bit more exciting. That's all I'm going to say. The first wacky holiday we're talking about on this fabulous 23rd of November. What is it all over the world today? Well, did you know? It's Eat a Cranberry Day! For many of us, it will only be Christmas Day where we eat cranberries. You have it with turkey, don't you, traditionally, on a Christmas dinner. But maybe some people have cranberry juice regularly, has good health benefits, I know that. But, you know, today, apparently, the 23rd of November is Eat a Cranberry Day. So don't wait another month and 2 days. Do it now, it's the correct day. How on earth can we celebrate cranberries? There's a very clear, obvious song that's been slapping us all in the face ever since I first mentioned cranberries. Here it comes, let's linger. Intro, isn't it? They've lingered with their intro. Now that is irony. Phoenix FM. Even lingered a little bit at the end, didn't it? Long intro, slightly in long end. I think it was deliberate on behalf of the Cranberries there. Well done. Well, after the next track plays, I'm going to start sharing some interesting facts with you about cranberries. Did you know you wanted to know facts about cranberries? Well, believe me, you do. Oh yes, trust me. Now, you may think Eat a Cranberry Day is not that exciting, really, for a day worth celebrating, but I think it's quite exciting. There's a couple of great ones coming up later as well. Oh yes. In the world of wacky holidays, well, it's not necessarily all that, well, there's one that's wacky, but there's one that's kind of, yeah, well worth celebrating. And like I said, if you're able to do the thing I'll be celebrating later, you already know what it is. Can you guess what it is from that ludicrous introduction? I wouldn't be able to if I was listening. I know what it is because I'm the presenter, and that makes me slightly smug about knowing what it is. Anyway, let's move on. Forget about the cold outside. There's definitely a chill in the air. I was speaking to the lady who works in the bakery down the road from me, and she says snow is due tomorrow. I was outraged when I heard that. Snow before the end of November? Don't be ridiculous. Oh, people will start talking about white Christmases and things like that then. When was the last official white Christmas? It's something I'll have to look up as well. I don't know. Although it's sort of annoying because, oh, if a flake falls on the weather centre in London or something, it counts as a white Christmas, isn't it? Something like that. One flake that instantly evaporates and it counts as a white Christmas in terms of bookmakers. Anyway, cranberry facts coming your way after another track. We're still celebrating cranberries. Now, we're not going to keep playing songs by the Cranberries. That would be churlish, easy, obvious. Regular listeners will know we don't do those things on the show that goes like this. Oh, no. It's time for a track I remember from back in university that I always associate with an amusing evening where, let's just say, I'd had a little bit to drink. It's nothing to do with the track. It just reminds me of that night and was amusing. This is The Sunshine After the Rain. Another one with a long intro. Don't think it's trying to be ironic, though, with its long intro. I had a professor at the University of Leeds Classics Department who was called Dr. Berry. This song came out, and we all wondered whether he'd released it. Knowing him and his love of Latin and Greek, I doubt it. This is The Sunshine After the Rain by Berry, not from the University of Leeds. That's Bearing Sunshine After the Rain.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
If any of the members of Berry, or the people that created the song Sunshine After the Rain as Berry, wore a beret, that would be enjoyable, wouldn't it? Whilst eating cranberries as well, I'm sure it would be very enjoyable. Or any kind of berry, really, it would be quite satisfying. Anyway, that was Sunshine After the Rain, not named after a professor of mine at university, but could have been. Now then, as promised, some facts about cranberries. You may have thought you didn't want to know anything more about cranberries than you already know, but you're about to know more than you already know. So listen with bated ears. Here come some cranberry facts. Cranberries are one of the few fruits native... Do you know where they're native to? To North America. That's where they grow. North America. The five states known for growing cranberries are Massachusetts, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Oregon, and Washington. You know, 10% of all the states in America grow cranberries. They don't occur in very many places. Cranberries have small pockets where air seeps into that allows them to float. That's interesting. You drop them in water, they will float. Although cranberries do not grow in water. No? Okay, that makes sense. Drop a load of them in the sea, you're not going to suddenly get a cranberry tree. And cranberries are approximately 90% water. Now that seems high, but I guess a lot of fruits are, aren't they? That kind of percentage water. So I'm not that shocked by those facts. But maybe you didn't know they were native to North America, but now you do. And maybe you didn't know they occur in Massachusetts, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Oregon and Washington, but now you do. And they can float, but they don't grow in water. And they're approximately 90% water. There we go. And that is just half the cranberry facts I've got to share with you. So, small round fruit fans, stay tuned in with bated ears and you will hear more about cranberries after the next track. It's Tuesday the 23rd of November, it's Eat a Cranberry Day. We're dealing with that subject at the beginning of tonight's episode of the show that goes like this, one that is jam-packed, although not a cranberry sauce style jam, full of great tracks, interesting things going on, interactive moments for you lovely Legend listeners, and loads of ways to join us. Oh yes, 98.0 FM or phoenixfm.com. And if you have a smart speaker, ask it to play Phoenix. If you're on the App Store with an Apple device, you can download our app as well. So many ways you can be here. And if you are, thanks for bothering. Thanks for tuning in to the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, on a Tuesday night. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be marvellous all throughout the evening, so keep it here. More cranberry facts coming soon. We need another track related in some way to cranberries. Then I think I will move away before we all get bored of it, because let's face it, we will be eating them at Christmas. Here with Red, it's Daniel Merriweather.
And I'm alright standing in the streetlights here. This meant for me, but my time on the outside is over. We don't know how you're spending all of your days, knowing that love isn't here. You see the pictures, but you don't know their names, 'cause love isn't here. These problems, they're all in your head, and I can't be somebody else. You took something perfect and painted it red. No sympathy when shouting out is all you know. And see the secrets you don't show. But we don't know how you're spending all of your days, knowing that love isn't here. You see the pictures, but you don't know their names.
took something perfect and painted it red.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Daniel Merriweather and Red, the final track we will play to celebrate cranberries here on this fabulous Eat a Cranberry Day, 23rd of November. Don't save it just for Christmas Day, do it the month before as well, in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yes, it's Eat a Cranberry Day, it's not just look at a cranberry, touch a cranberry, sniff a cranberry even. Hear a cranberry? Do they make many noises? I don't know, I'm clearly whittling. But yes, Eat a Cranberry Day today. Maybe you have got a jar of cranberry sauce in the cupboard you were saving for Christmas. Just go and have half a spoonful if you want to celebrate Eat a Cranberry Day on the correct day. No, you're not going to do that. You want more facts about them first. All right, here we go. Cranberries are typically in season from October until December. Small season. Sort of into October until December. The 10-week season, is that good? I don't know. I don't know how that compares to other things that grow. Seems small to me. Cranberries can be used as fabric dyes. That's good, isn't it? Your red top's losing a bit of colour. Put it in a bowl full of cranberries. Okay, maybe not as simple as that. But anyway, cranberries have many health benefits, such as preventing urinary tract infections, aiding in reducing the risk of cardiovascular diseases and helping slow down tumour progression. If you are delaying buying that carton of cranberry juice, maybe it's worth considering. Many health benefits. Sounds good. Only about 5% of cranberries are sold fresh, while the rest are turned into cranberry juice, sauce, etc. Now, this is confusing because this is from an American website that measures things in cups. A cup is, if you imagine a small mug, I would go with, that's about a cup measurement. One cup of cranberries is about 50 calories. It's not that much. They're quite tart, aren't they? Raw cranberries. Made a bit sweeter in a cranberry sauce. But one cup of cranberries, imagine a small mug, keep imagining, about 50 calories. Doesn't seem too bad to me, a cup of cranberries. Well, there we go. I've exhausted my cranberry facts for you now, but I like to bring them to you. I feel like everybody knows something they didn't know before about the wonderful, weird, wacky, and other words beginning with W, world of cranberries. There we go. We've dealt with it on the show that goes like this. And therefore, it's time to move on to a new topic. What else occurs on the 23rd of November all over the world? Well, it's National Espresso Day! You like your coffee strong? Not so much for me. My wife recently went to Milan and she said it's very difficult to get a good latte out there, certainly an Americano or anything like that, because they love their espressos in Italy. That's what they want to give you everywhere, and you ask for a latte and they virtually slap you in the face. But oh no, I'm a latte person. I do like seeing them put the shot of espresso into the milk. And then it feels like it's a complete coffee for me. So yes, but it is, there we go, National Espresso Day today. All over the world. National where? Worldwide. Why isn't it called Worldwide Espresso Day? Maybe it's only national in Italy. Who knows? But if you've got a coffee machine, if you like your strong, small coffees, celebrate it. Make yourself one right now. Go on. Get one of those capsules out. Or if you've got one of the things that does the bean grinding and all that luxury coffee machine, maybe you can really enjoy an authentic espresso right now. And while you're doing it, you can enjoy listening to this effort from Blur. Make yourself a coffee, put the TV on, and then this track really couldn't be any more appropriate. It's Country House. Of course it isn't. Coffee and TV, just my little jape.
Care how you are. Phoenix FM.
The Fabulous Coffee and TV. Yeah, stop it now, Blur. Don't be ridiculous. They were trying to linger with a track there, weren't they? Yes. Well, I do feel duty-bound, because it's not going to last very long, ironically, when you consider the subject, to tell you about a poll that is running on Twitter that is going to be relevant in the final hour of the show, because something to do with the 23rd of November revolves around the wonderful world, if you're a fan, of Doctor Who. And I am asking on Twitter, and this poll will finish before the live show finishes tonight, out of the four most recent choices, who is the best Doctor Who? Is it current incumbent Jodie Whittaker? Or was it before her, Peter Capaldi? Or before him, Matt Smith? Or before him, David Tennant? Few votes trickling in already on the Twitterverse, but do feel free to get yourself onto my Twitter page, at BenSimRadio. You will see the poll on there, and it's just a single click to cast your vote. Who's the best Doctor Who, basically? Not out of all time, just out of the four most recent. Jodie Whittaker, Peter Capaldi, Matt Smith and David Tennant. Please get yourself onto Twitter very quickly and just cast a vote. That would be wonderful of you. I'll keep you updated as we progress throughout the show. But now is not the time to discuss Doctor Who any further, because Rather excitingly, I have said it is National Espresso Day today, hence playing Blur and some other tracks I've got to come for you, which is rather exciting. And I'm also going to give you some facts about coffee, but not now because I've exhausted you so far with the request to put votes on Twitter. If you just joined us, you're wondering what it's all about, get yourself to @BenSimRadio on Twitter. You'll see a poll related to Doctor Who. I'd love it if you cast a vote on there. That would make you utterly fabulous. Another track about coffee coming up. Then I'll start sharing some facts. That's what happens. We've already learned about cranberries. I'm just too generous to you with all these facts. All Saints don't want any milk. That's all I need to say.
Keep talking, always silent, never talking. Then you call my name and I know inside I love you. Sail away, I miss you more until you see the shore. There I will be waiting, anticipating.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And that was All Saints and Black Coffee. I did forget to say earlier as well, another way you can join us on the show that goes like this tonight is on the Mixcloud webcam feed and see what's actually going on in the studio. And when I see what's going on, I mean, have a look at me in the studio in front of our branded Phoenix background. But feel free to do just that. Mixcloud.com, search for Phoenix 98 FM. You'll see our logo with orange and purple and white on it. And click on that and you see the webcam feed. And if you have a Mixcloud account, you can join in the chat on the right-hand side of the camera. And that's what Paul Milton has done once again. Hello to you, Paul. Thanks for tuning in via Mixcloud. Good to know you're out there. Good to know you're listening. Utterly fabulous. Hope you voted on Twitter for the Who's the Best Doctor Who poll. A few more votes are coming in. Jodie Whittaker, not got many votes. Sorry, Jodie. Anyway, yes, as promised, some facts about coffee then, with it being National Espresso Day. Don't call it espresso, that's a bone of contention for many people. Espresso in the Italian. But we'll come to that later. Facts about coffee. The Netherlands consumes the most coffee. According to a 2020 study, the Netherlands were said to consume the most coffee per capita. Doesn't say in what amount of time, with a whopping 8.3 kilograms. I guess, what is that, in a year? I mean, some people I know it could be within a week, but yes, 8.3 kilograms of coffee per person. That must be in a year, followed by Finland at 7.8 and Sweden at 7.6. Despite many people in the UK's best efforts, the UK did not even rank in the top 15 for the most coffee-addicted countries. There's a surprise. It feels like we are. My mum used to make lattes before lattes were even a thing, and I loved them. She called them milky coffees. I remember her heating up saucepans of milk on the stove, using that to make a coffee, and me thinking it was exotic and fabulous. Well done, Mum. Ahead of your time, clearly. Also, coffee beans aren't beans. Contrary to the name, a coffee bean isn't a bean. It's rather the pit or seed found inside a coffee cherry. The bean is removed from the fruit as part of the harvesting process. Because of their shape and size, that's what they're commonly referred to. But assuming the conditions are right, you could plant one and it would grow into a whole new coffee plant. Basically, roasted coffee seeds. That's what we then make a drink from. Bizarre. If you want more bizarre stories, maybe you know this already, but there's a coffee made from an extremely unpleasant substance, which is actually very, very exotic and highly sought after. What am I talking about? Originating in Indonesia, the Kopi Luwak is one of the most sought after coffees in the world. It's produced with the help of the palm civet, a little rodent-like creature, who eat the coffee cherries and then pass the beans. Yes, it's a coffee cherry and its seed that has been through the digestive tract of a palm civet. You know how rabbits eat food and then go to the loo and then eat it again, and then it's different when it comes out the second time? I guess it's kind of similar to that. The palm civet can't digest the coffee bean. It passes through and then is collected. The unique fermentation process that occurs as the beans travel through the civet's digestive tract is said to offer a smooth finish and a very distinctive flavour to the final brew. And that said coffee, Kopi Luwak, can cost over £400 a kilo. One of the most expensive coffees available in the world today. When some people have said to you, oh, this coffee tastes like that one, literally does. While we all come to terms with that, I'm going to play something by Ricky Martin, because I think it refers to someone having their skin the colour of mocha. See what I've done there? It very loosely links to the world of coffee.
She's into superstitions, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition that girl's gonna make me fall. She's into new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got new addictions.
Welcome to New York City. In a funky cheap hotel, she took my heart and she took my money. She must have slipped me a sleeping pill. She never drinks the water, makes you order French champagne. Once you've had a taste of her, you'll never be the same. You should make you go insane.
Phoenix FM.
She's living La Vida Loca. That was Ricky Martin. It's still the 23rd of November. This is the show that goes like this with me, Ben Simmons, and we're talking about coffee. Why? Because it's National Espresso Day. Yes, enjoy that coffee even more than normal. It's the right day to do so today. What about the existence of the word coffee? The earliest term for the drink of coffee was the Arabic word kahvah, spelt Q-A-H-W-A-H, which actually referred to a type of wine. The Ottoman Turks then used the term kahve, K-A-H-V-E, which was followed by the Dutch word koffie, K-O-F-F-I-E, from which the English name was derived and has been traced back to 1582 when we started calling it coffee. So there you go, kahva into kahve, into coffee, into coffee. There we go, 1582. Now, we talked about espresso and expresso. The correct pronunciation of espresso is an age-old argument that coffee enthusiasts have been having for years. But it turns out those who call it an espresso aren't entirely wrong. The Italian term espresso means expressed or pressed out, because espressos are made by forcing very hot water under high pressure through finely ground coffee beans. So while the correct pronunciation is espresso, it actually means expressed. So an espresso isn't too far from the truth as well. And before we have another track, the world's largest cup of coffee. Can you guess how big it was? As of the 15th of June 2019, could have been beaten in the last couple of years, the largest cup of coffee ever made contained a whopping 22,739 litres and was recorded in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's a very big cup. How is that not the world record biggest cup ever as well? Wouldn't have fit in one of those teacups you ride in at theme parks, would it? No. Over 20,000 litres You would get a caffeine rush after drinking that, I am pretty certain. Right, let's have another track. Then we've got to move on to even more craziness in terms of wacky holidays today. How has it been 50 minutes of this show already? Everyone is enjoying themselves far too much. I'll try my best to put a stop to it, but I can't promise anything. Another track that mentions Mocha's in it at some point, doesn't she? I'm sure Christina Aguilera does, maybe Lil Kim does, or Maya, or Pink. It's Lady Marmalade.
Where's all my soul sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh. Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow. Give me Marmalade, darling, old Moulin Rouge. Strutting and stuff on the street. She said, hello, hey, Joe. You want to give it a go? Gitchy, gitchy, yeah, yeah, za-za. Gitchy, gitchy, yeah, yeah.
Let them know we bout that cake straight out the gate. We independent women, some mistake us for whores. I'm saying, why spend mine when I can spend yours? Disagree? Well, that's you, and I'm sorry. I'ma keep playing these cats out like a car. High heel shoes, getting love from the Jews for badass chicks from the Moulin Rouge.
Hey, sisters, soul sisters, better get that dough, sisters.
We drink wine with diamonds in the glass by the case, the meaning of expensive taste.
You want a hinchy, hinchy, yeah.
Come on,
mocha chocolate.
What? Real lady.
One more time, come on.
Phoenix FM.
Always loved that version, Lady Marmalade. Christina Aguilera, Lil' Kim, Maya and Pink. Yes, definitely quite a funky version. Released around the same time as Moulin Rouge, which is now being released as a musical, isn't it? Early next year, it will be in London's West End. Took them a long time. Wow, what is it, about 20 years since the film came out? Something of that ilk, I would imagine. Maybe not quite that long. 18, 19, who knows? But anyway, yeah, something interesting. Something else you find out by tuning in to the show that goes like this. Couple more coffee facts for you, then we'll move on to a new topic. Before I do that, I'm desperately hoping Stuart Pink, our fabulous Drive Time host, is still on his way home and tuned in to Phoenix FM. I'm sure he will be. Stuart, just to put your mind at rest, we had the brilliance of, well, we have a weekly lottery, Stuart and I, of worrying about Rob Harvey's Synth City printouts. Because if Stuart can't sort it, I have to sort it, and then Rob comes in at 8 o'clock, and it's no problem whatsoever. We all support each other on Phoenix FM, which is fabulous, but sometimes our temperamental printer here just refuses to print. You press print on the computer and it all acts as if everything's fabulous, and then no paper comes out whatsoever. Stuart Pink endured one of those moments earlier on today, and without me doing anything, Stuart, I just want to let you know that three copies of Rob's show printout have now come out of the printer. They have been produced. Don't ask me how or why or when, or when the printer woke up from a deep sleep and decided it wasn't going to do it once, it was going to do it three times, or had enough things in the queue. But we can all rest easy now. Rob Harvey will be happy. Stuart Pink will be relieved. I don't have to do any more than get a bit of paper out of the printer. It's all fine. Everything is wonderful here in Studio One at Phoenix FM. Now, coffee is one of the most consumed drinks in the world. Not a big surprise, is it? Alongside water and tea, coffee is one of the world's most popular drinks, with over 400 billion cups of it being consumed each year. Britain alone consumes approximately 2.8 kilos of coffee per person per year. There we go, that helps work out stuff from earlier on with the Netherlands. See, we're on 2.8. Netherlands, 8.3 kilos. Finland, 7.8. Sweden, 7.6. Britain, 2.8. Okay, but this is what we all want to know about coffee. Possibly the best fact yet. Coffee, it probably deserves some kind of jingle. Coffee helps you live longer. Oh yes, because it is jam-packed with antioxidants. Coffee remains one of the healthiest beverages in the world. Of course, if you choose to add lots of other things to it, sugars, syrups, milks, then the health factor may be impacted. But otherwise, when consumed as part of a healthy, balanced diet and lifestyle, coffee can help people to live longer, happier lives. That is the fact we all wanted to hear about coffee, isn't it? As we approach the second hour of the show. Time to get some more tracks in, or I won't squeeze them all in before the end of the show. I'm already feeling like I'm getting behind musically. Huge apologies if you love your behind music, but I'll do my best to catch up. Because not only is the 23rd of November Eat a Cranberry Day and National Espresso Day, get that fanfare jingle ready again. Oh yes, Mr. Producer, thank you. It is also Fibonacci Day! What? It's a certain thing about a sequence of numbers. Yes, let me explain the Fibonacci sequence. If it's basically the next number in the sequence is the previous two numbers added together. So if you start with nothing and then have the number one, then the next number in the sequence must be one, because zero and one is one. Then the next number in the sequence must be 2, because you add 1 and 1 together. Then the next number in the sequence is 1 and 2 added together, which is 3. Then the next number in the sequence is 2 and 3 added together, which is 5, and so on and so on and so on. Can I musically start off a Fibonacci sequence? Let's do it. Chesney Hawkes, the one and only. Love that kicking chord. Here we go.
Call me by my name.
Phoenix FM.
Chesney's classic, the one and only, because we're now celebrating Fibonacci Day, the sequence of numbers where the next number in the sequence is the previous two added together. We're doing it musically. I'm going to do them quite quickly so it all makes sense. Chesney Hawke's the one and only. Zero and one, next number in the sequence must be one. So one and one, next number in the sequence must be two. A song that represents two, there's a lot of possibilities. Marvin Gaye and Kim Weston, over to you.
One can have a dream, baby. Two can make that dream so real. One can talk about being in love. Two can say how it really feels. One can worship on a star. Two can make that wish come true. A dream come true. Just take two. One can have a broken heart living in misery.
Two can really ease the pain like a perfect remedy.
One can be alone in the crowd like an island he's all alone.
Two can make it just for any place.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And I feel duty bound to G you up again, lovely leg end listeners, on the Twitter poll that is raging. A few votes have come in now. It's quite interesting. Who is the best Doctor Who of the four most recent incumbents of the role? Jodie Whittaker, Peter Capaldi, Matt Smith or David Tennant? Only available on Twitter at Ben Sim Radio. That is where the poll is running. You can't access it anywhere else, and it will finish in about 40 minutes time, so you must get your votes cast. Thank you very much to those of you that have done so. If you have strong feelings about Doctor Who actors, get on the Twitterverse, cast your vote at Ben Sim Radio. Do it now, go on. There's a lot of people tuned into tonight's show. It's fabulous to know you're all out there listening. It's absolutely lovely of you to share part of your Tuesday evening with me, or have me rambling on in the background. I'm still grateful. Thank you very much. Fibonacci Day is the 23rd of November. Fibonacci sequence, last two numbers of the thing added together and you get the next number. So we've had 1 and 0 is 1. Chesney Hawke's the one and only. 1 and 1 is 2. Marvin Gaye and Kim Weston, It Takes Two. 1 and 2 is clearly not still 2. It's 3, isn't it? I've always thought 3 was a magic number. No more, no less.
3, that's a magic number.
Three.
It is, it's the magic number.
3.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born 3, they stubbed me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music, raising 3 parts. Casually see, but don't do like the soul. Cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip-hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk.
Three.
Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap, shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase and Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Dosido's your daughter. A tri-camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under days of production. It stands for the inner sound. Y'all in your Quebec, that the action not a trick, but show me the function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of 3, and that's a magic number.
3.
This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we dine. And 3 out of every darn time, the effect is where the daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up the casualty. Maybe you can subtract it, you can call it your lucky partner, maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my 1 and 2, where would there be my 3 mates passing me, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls before style gain praise by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen, cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside a legal substance and feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of 1. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. 3 forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this 6 and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number. Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. 3 times 1.
What is it?
1, 2, 3.
That's a magic number.
Yo, what's up?
1, 2, 3. I say, children, what does it all mean?
1, 2, 3.
I would lie to you.
No more, no less. That's a magic number. No more, no less. No more, no less. No, 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 no more, no less. No more, no less. No more, no less.
Anybody in the audience ever get hit by a car?
No more, no less. No more, no less. No more, no less. No more, no less. No more, no less.
That's a magic number.
This is the show that goes like this with Ben Simmons.
With who?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, right.
On Phoenix FM.
Oh yes, don't go anywhere, we've still got 45 minutes plus a couple extra left of this show tonight, then Rob Harvey in with Synth City, and then Steve Davis of Snooker fame in after Rob as well, so don't go anywhere, 98.0, phoenixfm.com or via smart speaker, and with webcam streaming links on mixcloud.com. It's all happening this evening. Hopefully you're having a great 23rd of November evening yourself. Maybe you're celebrating, maybe because it's your birthday, maybe you'd like to know any celebrities that you share a birthday with. Go on then. who is celebrating today. Not that many worthwhile celebrities I could find. If you have a look online, there's a host of YouTube, TikTok and Twitterverse stars that are celebrating. But anyway, former model, now broadcaster Kelly Brook is 42 today. Leicester and England footballer James Maddison is 25 today. Radio host and TV presenter Zoe Ball, this makes you feel old, she's 51 today. Ridiculous, she certainly doesn't look it. And the slightly controversial and former Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, is 29 today. That is it. Those are the celebrity birthdays. And if it's your birthday as well, very many happy returns to you from all of us here at the show that goes like this on Phoenix FM. Right, Fibonacci sequence. How can I explain it simply? Can I find a way of explaining it simply? Where the next number in the sequence is the sum of the two preceding numbers. There we go. I've used the word preceding. I'm sorry. Those of you that don't like big words, look it up. Those of you that feel like I've talked down to you, I'm very, very sorry. Okay, so we've had one, we've had two, we've added one and two together and made three. Now we've got to add two and three together and you get five. Let's just keep on moving with this sequence. Oh, that's worked so well.
Things are coming my way, and if the sunshine has a meaning, it's telling me not to let them get in my way.
When the rainy days are dying, gotta keep on trying. All the bees and birds are flying. Never let go, gotta hold on in. Non stop till the break of dawn, and keep moving, don't stop knocking.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was five. It always used to bother me when you saw written down how they wanted five to be spelt with the number five and then IVE on the end. And I was like, the number 5 doesn't look anything like an F. That's ridiculous. It works with some letters. Does it? I'm not sure. Anyway, some numbers to be letters, that's what I meant. But 5, it looked like S, it looked like Scythe. And all wrong for me, anyway, let's move away from that and talk a little bit more about Leonardo Fibonacci, the man who discovered or came up with the Fibonacci sequence, where the next number in the sequence is the sum of the two preceding numbers. I'm only going to do one more musically, but it does go very high. Well, it goes on infinitely, I guess. But yes, it's been helpful to mathematicians for many, many years. But Leonardo Pisano, Leonardo of Pisa, better known as Fibonacci, was an Italian mathematician who's most famous for his Fibonacci sequence and for popularising the Hindu-Arabic numeral system in Europe. Yes, so the numbers that we recognise now, those kind of font numbers that we see, popularised by Leonardo Fibonacci. And it's amazing, really, how none of them are particularly similar in lots of other forms, except the number 9. We've got Hindu-Arabic way of writing it, which is the way we know, Western Arabic Indic, Eastern Arabic Indic, and Devanagari. And in all of those, they all you get wacky symbols that we wouldn't understand compared to the numbers that we all know and recognise. However, the number 9 is the same in all of them, except for Devanagari, where it's kind of just back to front. But everybody has a number 9 that everyone would recognise. There's something strange for you to all enjoy. Leonardo Fibonacci. Good for him. He popularised that numeral system. He realised the advantages of the Hindu-Arabic numeral system. Although today the system is the most common representation of numbers, at the time it was known to only a few scholars in Europe. And in 1202, Fibonacci completed Liber Abaci, Book of Calculation, a book on the Hindu-Arabic numerals and their use in arithmetical operations and practical problems. My brain hurts after saying all that. Let's move on or we won't be able to squeeze all the tracks in. Right, next in our sequence, we've had 3, we've had 5. 5 IVE, however you want to spell it. Add those together, yeah, 8. Not many songs with 8 in. This one has.
Yes, you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe, just like I need you. Hold me, love me, hold me, love me. I ain't got nothing but
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And we're going to move away from the Fibonacci sequence because we could carry on with it for a very, very long time. One and one is two, then three, then five, then eight, then 13, then 21, 34, 55, 89, 144, 233, 377. Those are the opening numbers in a Fibonacci sequence. Just thought I'd read those out for everybody to enjoy. Why am I breaking away from it quite abruptly? Well, because for the rest of the show, I'm going to devote some time to the fact that the 23rd of November is Doctor Who Day! That's why I said earlier, if you already travel in time, you will know what's coming in the second half of the show. Yes, it's Doctor Who Day. Why is the 23rd of November Doctor Who Day? Well, it's simply because back in 1963, the 23rd of November was the day that the sci-fi series first aired on television. 23rd of November 1963. It's 58 years old. Still going strong with Doctor Who Flux, the 13th series since it was brought back with Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor. Then we've had Tennant, Smith, Capaldi, and now Whittaker. I'm enjoying it. I found it a bit weird when there wasn't an overarching story in Jodie Whittaker's first series, and then it's got a bit better as her time's gone on. Anyway, lots of interesting things to come. I got back into it recently. Yes, Eccleston was good, only lasted a season. Tennant, probably the heyday since it came back. Matt Smith, still good. Capaldi did well with an older Doctor role. Then they've gone with the female version, and it's Jodie Whittaker. Everyone's been brilliant. You can vote on your favourite Doctor of the four most recent at Ben Sim Radio on Twitter. We need some music to celebrate Doctor Who. There's nothing, literally nothing, I'm not playing the theme tune, more appropriate, I'm not playing the theme tune, than this. Okay, I was sort of playing the theme tune.
Phoenix FM.
That was the Time Lords with Doctor in the TARDIS. Doctor in, as in doctor in with a little apostrophe at the end, making to doctor a verb. They've been doctoring the TARDIS. Oh, yes. Yeah, that was an interesting track that must have got all kinds of licenses to borrow those kind of voices, character voices, sections from the theme tune. But yeah, good track, the Time Lords. The Time Lords might be back in Doctor Who Flux. It's rumoured. The Doctor's now been turned into a weeping angel. Cripes, it's all happening. Yes, I was gripped the last episode. Quite enjoyed it. I like it when they introduce a new villain, because I do kind of think with Doctor Who, they act as if the Daleks are the most evil things that have ever been created and act with extreme fear every time they appear in an episode. But I kind of want to go, you've defeated them about 38 times before. You'll probably be able to do it again. I think it's important to introduce some new evil characters and villains every now and again. The Weeping Angels, introduced by Stephen Moffat a few years back. Great creation. Excellent idea. The first episode they ever came in, which was during the time of David Tennant as the Doctor, he was barely in the actual episode, and it featured the now quite famous Carey Mulligan in one of her first TV roles. Absolutely brilliant, very scary, very edgy, excellent episode. I can't remember what it's called, but well worth checking out. Carey Mulligan in the first Weeping Angels episode. I'm sure you can find out from that nugget of information I've given you. But yes, I'm enjoying Doctor Who Flux. I'm desperate to know what's going to happen in each episode. I do understand that now they've had a female cast as the Doctor, they're going to have a male assistant, and they had Bradley Walsh, and now they've gone on to John Bishop. Are they just going to go through a series of middle-aged comedians as her sidekick? I know there's others as well, there's Mandip Gill, but, you know, it could be interesting. Right, so a few tracks now that are all related to something very important to Doctor Who, the subject of time. Here's someone that's enjoying her current time because she got freed. Thanks to the /Free Britney movement, she no longer has a conservatorship hanging over her head. Oh yes, all about time, Britney Spears.
Yeah.
radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
That was Britney and Baby One More Time, the song that kicked it all off for her. Who knows when Doctor Who kicked off? Well, I know it was the 23rd of November, 1963. William Hartnell. And all that gubbins, I did love what they've done in recent times where they managed to travel back, or that they travelled back to the time of the very first Doctor, didn't they? Yeah, I've always quite liked Doctor Who, I've got to say. And then there was that time when my dad appeared in Panto with Sylvester McCoy in the late 80s. At the time, he was in Doctor Who, and then he became friends with Sylvester. Sylvester agreed to come and present the prizes at my football club's end-of-season dinner. That was an exciting time. And then, probably, how many years later? 20 years later, my dad and I performed in Panto with Sylvester McCoy again. So going from hero worshipping him to actually performing with him was a completely phenomenal experience. Yet to work with David Tennant, Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi or Jodie Whittaker, but you know, I'll probably do a Panto with one of them at some point in the future. That's the dream. I'm off to Panto tomorrow. Yes. Now, I have asked my lovely Leg End listeners a Doctor Who related question, which I will share with you some of their answers after the next track. Now, whenever I think about the next track, I look forward to hearing it, and then I think to myself, how on earth did they come up with the complicated lyrics for this song? Here's Daft Punk and One More Time. Just think about the effort that went into writing this. Think about it.
One more time. Celebration tonight. Celebrate. Don't wait too late. No, we don't stop. You can't stop. We're gonna celebrate one more time. One more time. One more time, a celebration. You know we're gonna do it right tonight. Hey, just feel it. Music's got me feeling the need. Need, yeah. Come on, alright. We're gonna celebrate one more time. Celebrate and dance so free. Music's got me feeling so free. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time. Music's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate. Celebrate and dance so free. One more time.
times it's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, it's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, it's got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, this got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, this got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, celebrate and dance so free. One more time, this got me feeling so free. We're gonna celebrate, yeah.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Gloriously intricate lyrics there of Daft Punk's One More Time. I still enjoyed it though. Oh yes. Now, I should let you know you've only got about 10 minutes left to vote on who the best of the four most recent Doctor Who's have been. Is it Jodie Whittaker, Peter Capaldi, Matt Smith or David Tennant? Voting only open for another 10 minutes. Cast your vote on the Twitterverse at BenSimRadio is the place to go. You will see the poll, a single click, and it's as simple as that. Get yourself over to it. Now, as promised, I'll share some of the things my lovely Legend listeners shared with me when I asked if you could travel in time, what is the first thing you would do? And John Cohen has brilliantly replied and said, I'd steal the best answers to your question and pretend I posted them first. That's nice. And then, harking back to another time travel phenomenon, Mark Straker says, I would go back and buy a sporting yearbook. Oh yes. The almanac in Back to the Future caused havoc and allowed people to make millions of dollars at the horses. I watched all that trilogy again quite recently. Absolutely brilliant. And then Leanne Simpson has simply said, go and see the Beatles. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it, to see them live? Yes, there we go. Of all the things people could do, someone would abuse it to buy a sporting yearbook and win big. Someone else would go and see the Beatles, and someone would steal the best answers to the question. More of those coming up after another track, another time-related track, a fabulous offering from Ariana Grande.
I was a liar, I gave into the fire. I know I should have fought it, at least I'm being honest. Feel like a failure, cause I know that I failed you. I should have done you better, cause you don't wanna lie. And I know, and I know, and I know she gives you everything, but boy, I couldn't give it to you. I swear I'll make it up with you.
cause I don't wanna be without ya.
Phoenix FM.
One last time from Ariana. And while that was on, Paul Milton has made a good point on the chat on the Mixcloud webcam feed and said, we're talking all things Doctor Who. Now, Doctor Who Time Fracture exists, where Doctor Who has been turned into an immersive theatrical adventure in London. Oh yes. Having recently taken part in the Crystal Maze Live, I can imagine Doctor Who Time Fracture would be absolutely fabulous, particularly for extreme fans of the series. I may have to look into that once I'm back from Panto, Paul. But yeah, thanks for mentioning it. Excellent point. And now then, a few more things from lovely Legend listeners. When asked if you could do anything travelling in time, what is the first thing you would do? And then we go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Dan Prague says, well, he's mentioned a song I'm going to play in his honour in a moment, but he said I'd go back and hug my dad one more time. And then Mark Pearson says something a lot less emotional than that and said, I'd go back a week last Tuesday. It was a great dinner. Simple needs. Thanks to both of you. Paul Milton also says, if I could travel back in time, it would be to hug my dad and mum again. Yeah, there's a lot of emotion there, and that's lovely. Thank you for sharing stuff like that as well. And Mark Reed says, I would reply to this post. Done. So Mark Reed is a time traveller. Well done. Thanks to all of you that shared things on the social media in the run-up to the show. Very kind of you. And, yeah, utterly fabulous. All in the name of Doctor Who, because the 23rd of November is Doctor Who Day. The first day it aired back in 1963. Now, Dan Prague asked for a particular kind of song. It relates to time, so it relates to Doctor Who. This is for you, Dan. Bit of Cher.
Cries like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they wound sometimes. I didn't really mean to hurt you. You
Phoenix FM.
Shares, if I could turn back time, fabulous. And I think the voting's about to close. It's going to be actually not that close. Close for the minor places on who's the best of the four most recent Doctor Whos. I'll have to reveal the answer and then sum up the entire show after this song. So we've got the penultimate track coming of tonight's show. All about time, because we're celebrating Doctor Who. 58 years since it started today. And now then, time for going back a bit. A great track, though. I haven't heard it for ages. Bit of Billy Joel, The Longest Time. If I play the right button, we get to hear it. If I press the wrong button, you don't get to hear it at all. Let's press the right one this time. Here's Billy Joel.
Time. Whoa.
community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And yes, that hard-hitting poll has now concluded, and the show that goes like this, favourite recent Doctor Who, is most definitely David Tennant. Jodie Whittaker with 11% of the vote, Peter Capaldi with 23%, Matt Smith with just 10%, and David Tennant with a whopping 56% of the vote. So that is conclusive proof. It's been a great show. Time to leave you once again in the capable hands of Rob Harvey, who'll be up with Synth City after the news at 8 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. Yes, it's been Eat a Cranberry Day, National Espresso Day, Fibonacci Day, and excitingly, Doctor Who Day. To play us out then, a song requested by Paul Milton. Thanks for being here. I'll be with you again very soon. Take care all. It's Cyndi Lauper.
Turn to gray, watching through windows, your